Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much to Father Ralph for inviting me to be with you this morning. I am the director of something called the Interfaith Network for the UK, and our offices are all of 20 yards across the road from you. And so it's a particular pleasure to be with near neighbours. I've been invited to talk about something called National Interfaith Week, and you'll see that I've brought some small leaflets about this, and they're at the back of the church or the front. But before I do so, I'm going to say just something briefly about what the Interfaith Network for the UK is, because it's not an obvious thing, really. And I'll also be touching on Paris, as you might expect. The Interfaith Network for the UK was set up in 1987, and it works to promote understanding, cooperation, and good relations between organisations and people of different faiths in the UK. Now, there are many interfaith organisations these days. What's distinctive about the Interfaith Network is it's an organisation of organisations. Now, describing something like that is sometimes a bit like describing paint drying. It's not hugely exciting when you talk about umbrella bodies and linking things, but it's critical. Because we work with bodies like Churches Together in England, Churches Together in Britain and Ireland, the Board of Deputies of British Jews, the national faith communities, as well as local bodies. And we help them work with each other. And we help them work in ways that are appropriate within their own traditions. Because interfaith engagement is not about mixing people up. It's not about smooshing people together or telling them to forget their differences. It's about those of us with different faith backgrounds in this country being enabled with integrity to engage with each other. And that's why the involvement of the mainstream, the major faith communities, is extremely important. We also link educational academic bodies, so we have quite a range of organisations. And we run a helpline, we provide information. If you're interested, you can see the website, and it talks about the sorts of things we do. I suppose, in a way, I take it's important, the importance of interfaith work as self-evident. Maybe I shouldn't. When I first came to work for the Interfaith Network back in the early 90s, I had no idea how significant this agenda, this would become in our lives in Britain today. Perhaps I had a glimmering. But I had lived in a part of the United States for 10 years that was not very multicultural or diverse. And I'd grown up in two parts of England that were very undiverse, in Yorkshire and Sussex, in parts that had no real religious diversity. So it wasn't something I'd ever given much thought to. But when I came back from America after 10 years there and saw how diverse this country had become, I felt very drawn to work in this area of work. It is a vocation, it's a calling, it's an unusual one. But I think that the area is becoming ever more significant, the more diverse our country becomes. And I'll say a bit about that as we continue. Interfaith Week is one of the most important parts of our programme. Now, I don't know about you, but I see increasing number of days and weeks. You know, these sort of things, capital W, capital D. We have days and weeks for almost everything now. Why do they matter, I ask myself sometimes. Because people do this work all year round. If you go down to, let's say, the office of the Council of Christians and Jews, they don't just sort of do this once a year, they do it all the time. Well, there is an artificiality to days and weeks, but they have a really important purpose. They enable people to learn about this work who never normally would. They help local interfaith groups and faith communities draw people into this work and to understand it better. And they're very significant in that respect. The aims of the week are firstly to strengthen good interfaith relations at all levels, and secondly to increase awareness of the distinct and different faith communities in the UK and actually celebrate the difference that you make to local communities. And that means actually letting people know about the amazing amounts of time that volunteers from churches and other faith communities put into making their local communities a better place. This is often a hidden gift. People take it for granted, but this week actually shines a spotlight on the many ways that local faith groups help their communities, whether it's feeding the homeless, helping the homeless, whether it's working with children, many different ways. And the third of the aims is actually increasing understanding between people who have religious beliefs and those who have non-religious beliefs. This might seem not as important to some people, but again, if you've listened to the radio or watched the news across the last 10 years, you can't but help be aware of the very much stronger voice of, I suppose, what some people term aggressive secularism. If you listen to the debates of people like Richard Dawkins with religious groups or religious leaders, I mean, I don't know if debate is the right word, but there's clearly a gap of understanding, and it's important that people understand each other better. So what's happening during this week? What actually happens? Well, one of the things that happens is this. I think you are my first Interfaith Week engagement. I'm going to be speaking in Buddhist viharas, at local interfaith groups, many places, but church services and worship services of other faith communities, including something like this brief talk today, are an important part of the week. And I think we're somewhere around the 350 mark of events now, and it's growing. We put more on day by day. And there are lots of things that happen around the country. Local authorities run events, faith groups run events. There's a big map of them all at the Interfaith Week website, which is on the material at the back. Open door days of faith communities are important. I mean, may I just, are we allowed to be interactive here? We are, okay. Can I just ask how many people here, if you don't mind saying, have been into a place of worship of a completely different faith community in your lifetime? You were an unusual church. This is a very significant level here. Many people have never been inside one, and the level of suspicion and anxiety is quite high. I have been with people from faith communities who've never been inside a mosque, for example, or inside a Hindu mandir. And I've been with Hindus who've been very anxious about coming into a particular other church, into a church context, and Muslims, and likewise. Several Jewish friends have never actually been present in other people's service contexts. Sometimes there are theological reasons for this. But on the whole, it's because life has not brought us these opportunities. And you here, I think, have been, in many respects, judging by the number of hands that have gone up, privileged to have these opportunities for encounter. If you go to somewhere like Oldham, or where I grew up in York, very few people actually have had this chance. And the chance to learn, the chance to engage, the chance to learn both through RE in schools and as adults to go into other places of worship and meet people of other faiths is very important. And this week helps with that. Many of the events involve young people. So lots of primary schools this year are joining with the secondary schools that for some years have marked the week. And universities are very much getting into the swing of it. Some of those university events are rather edgier than the ones that happen elsewhere. I think we've had Temple Run, which is visiting places of worship at speed, modelled on the thing that I was rather addicted to on my phone for a while. And then we have something called War of Words, which is not a very benign-sounding thing, happening at the University of Hertfordshire, which is a no-holds-barred sort of, I suppose you'd call it debate, but a fairly full-on debate where people look at different aspects of religion. Students are often prepared to go to places that the average interfaith conversationalist wouldn't. That's perhaps a factor of age. And maybe they have something to teach us in some ways, because a lot of interfaith engagement is very polite. People sometimes say, well, it's all about tea and samosas. It's sort of nice conversations where people don't really say what they mean. It can't be. There has to be a degree of honesty about the things that people feel strongly about. There really does. How we do that is a difficult question. But let me move from talking about the week to talking about Paris, because there's a link between these two reflections. In this last part of what I want to say, I just want to talk about the impact of the atrocities in Paris, the impact on the people to whom this has happened, those who've died, those who've been maimed, those who've been bereaved, is immeasurable, and this candle reminds us of the need to carry them in our hearts. But there is also a very wide impact on the faith communities, and particularly Muslims. in this country as well, not just in France. Because these were not religious attacks. They were attacks that made reference to religion, but they were not religious attacks. And I've brought a couple of copies of a statement that was put out yesterday by the co-chairs and the vice-chairs of the Interfaith Network. In it, it says, "Terrorism has many faces. Sometimes it wears the mask of religion, claiming a justification in religious teaching for its acts. This is rejected in the strongest terms by the faith communities. Last night I was in Trafalgar Square. I don't know if other people, anybody else here, was present at the vigil for those who died in Paris. And that was arranged by the Muslim Council of Britain with the Christian Muslim Council and a number of others. Muslims in this country are deeply anxious. A tiny minority are drawn into the kind of things that lead to the focus on extremism. They recognise there's a serious issue. All faith communities recognise there's a serious issue with extreme voices. There are other forms of extreme voices on the far right, anti-Semitic voices, but actually the principal ones at the moment are linked with the Islamist extremism. And that is concerning for the majority of Muslims, the overwhelming majority of Muslims in this country. It is difficult to know how one engages with these issues, not sweeping under the carpet the genuine problems there are, not getting sucked into global debates that one may not feel equipped to enter into with any, or certainly I wouldn't, with any background. And IFN, the Interfaith Network, focuses on the UK. But what I think is very important at the heart of this is that at this very difficult time, all the good things are remembered and that we build on the track record of good relations in this country, do try to address some of the more difficult issues. The co-chair's statement said, "The events of the week are a reminder of the reality and importance of a positive coexistence. Tackling tough issues is part of this. And on the agenda are those such as extremism, freedom of expression, and responding to social ills such as poverty. Interfaith discussion and engagement does not just focus on easy issues. It is not just the province of those who agree. It is a challenging and vital process that needs increasingly to be part of the common discourse of our society." So to conclude, we begin this week, this Interfaith Week, looking forward to all the good things, the positive things, the many celebrations, the educational events, the conferences, the children's events, the sporting, I should have perhaps mentioned the cricket and the football. Remember all these good things, and I hope that your thoughts and prayers will be with all those who are carrying out events for the week. But we also remember, I think, this week, and particularly acutely, the need for profound honesty, courageousness and commitment in continuing to take forward the interfaith engagement in ways that respect the integrity of our own traditional beliefs, that remain open without barriers of suspicion in the most difficult of circumstances.